Radio's Dave McGinnis, Coach Mac, is presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans on 104.5 The Zone.
Bria Jell on 104.5 The Zone. Bria Doherty, Don Davenport with you. Let's talk some NFL. With Coach Mack. Coach Mack presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack, what is up? How are you?
Brent, Don, how are we doing today? How you doing, JT?
Coach, have I ever looked better?
JT, I've never really seen you look not good.
He's just rocking it.
You got that Ohio State sweatshirt? Is that what's happening?
Hey, yeah, Coach, I wouldn't wear that.
Coach Mack, you want to be AD or head coach of the University of Tennessee? Can I talk you into that?
Probably not, but probably not. I mean, I've been offered several jobs in these 4 years that I've been doing this, and
yeah,
if it was the right thing, I would do it. But that's probably not right now.
You still miss coaching?
Well, yes, absolutely. I mean, you're always going to look. I've done it over half my adult life, you know, and so that's why I really enjoy doing what I do right now so much, because I'm with it, I'm in it. I can still, you know, study the game. I can study the draft. I can study the strategies. I can look at everything and do it. And then, you know, get to go to the game and talk about it and get involved in the adrenaline of it, because the adrenaline pump, you can't get anywhere else. You just can't, you cannot get it. So do I miss it? Absolutely, yes.
My favorite Steve Spurrier story currently is the story that he told, that he was walking around campus when Jim McElwain was the coach, and he would draw ball plays up on a piece of paper and go give them to Coach McElwain. You ever do that when you're over at the facility?
That would be no. Because I'm sure Jim McElwain didn't use any of those plays. And here's the thing.
Isn't that funny, though?
Well, yeah, well, it doesn't surprise me with Spurrier, you know, not at all. I mean, I remember when Spurrier came in the league, he and I played golf together at the owners' meetings when it was in Phoenix, and he sat in the cart and looked at me and went, well, why won't these ball plays I use work in the NFL? Mac, why won't they work? And I said, well, they probably will. Just go ahead and let's see.
I remember he came to Nashville with Patrick Ramsey and beat the Titans one time.
I've heard that.
Yeah, you weren't there for that.
No, I was not there, but I've heard that.
What do you think? So all the talk about Arthur Smith and the job he did, it pays off for him professionally with the head coaching position in Atlanta. Seems like a good fit to me. What do you think?
Guys, I mean, he's completely legit, you know, and you know, he's worked his way up through the ranks, and he got a head coaching job for all the right reasons. I mean, he's worked at it. He never sought it. You know, he really was a grinder. I mean, I worked with him daily for 1 year when I stayed to help Munch that first year that he was the head coach, you know, when he took over, when Fish left. And so, I mean, I know Arthur Smith personally very well. I know his work ethic. I know what he's about. And, you know, I've kept up with his career when we left. I remember telling Jeff Fisher when I went to the Rams, there's a young guy there, Arthur Smith, we need to keep our eye on because he would be a great addition to any staff. So anyway, I mean, he's got it for all the right reasons. He's got the temperament for it. He understands it. Players trust him. Ownership trust him. You know, and so to me, I mean, he did it the right way. And now he's got a chance to do it. But you talk about a guy that is clearly a non-self promoter, but is it clearly a guy that is a grinder and a worker and does all the right things. I mean, I'm very happy for him.
Non-self promoter. That's a great way to describe him. So here in town now, obviously Mike Vrabel with the task of filling that OC role and that DC role, if he does decide to do that. But just from a coach's perspective, because Titans fans will sit here and say, okay, we saw what he was able to do with this offense, what he was able to get out of Ryan Tannehill, you know, their success this year. How much of that can stay in place when he's gone? How important is this hire? Kind of give us the behind the scenes of a different offensive mind now, how having to come in. And can we see some of this similar stuff that Arthur Smith had already put in place?
You know, Don, it's very interesting that Mike Vrabel's last two offensive coordinators are head coaches now. Mm-hmm. You know, so clearly, I mean, you want to become a head coach, just become an offensive coordinator, you know, at the Tennessee Titans, because it's launched two pretty good head coaching careers already. And to your point, I mean, it's an important hire. It's extremely important hire. It's a very attractive hire because you've got a quarterback and you've got receivers. You've got an offensive line coming back. You got the NFL, I mean, offensive player of the year, running back. I mean, you've got some things here to attract some people. Now, you talk about scheme. I think that's important. I mean, why Arthur was so successful and why Matt LaFleur was so successful here and then successful at Green Bay. The good offensive coordinators, Don, they are willing to mold their scheme to the people that they have. And so I think that's extremely important. I mean, the less successful people I've ever seen in all of my years doing this, when they got to a place of authority, is to be dogmatic about what they are doing and try to jam square pegs into round holes. I mean, that just does not work in this league. And the caliber of people that you should be looking at, which Mike Vrabel will be, are people that are going to adjust what they do to what the people here do best. That's what Arthur Smith did. I expect that to continue to happen.
Well, and the word around the campfire, I would imagine around the league, is a very positive one about the environment in Nashville with regard mm-hmm. to Mike Vrabel and his staff and John Robinson and that whole deal. And you know, people understand this, but that whole coaching world is like a sewing circle and there's chatter all the time. So I would imagine that positive chatter would be a good thing for Mike Vrabel in terms of being able to find that next guy, correct?
Yeah, Brent, and let me expand on that thought just a moment and tell you what the real talk is when you get into serious NFL circles that okay. you know, I've been fortunate enough to be in for 35 years now, is that the ownership group of places is extremely important. And it's the stability of the ownership group now with the Titans, you know, with Amy Adams Strunk and with Kenneth and with Barkley and with Susan. That to me, guys, is huge, because the ownership of the Tennessee Titans is on such solid footing right now, and it goes throughout the whole organization. And that's important, because coaches talk. Coaches talk, players talk, people know. This is, if you're going to be involved in the National Football League coaching business, this is a good place to be. And that's extremely, extremely important, because there are a lot, there's 32 of these things. There's not 32 good places to be. Let's just be real honest about that, you know, and I've got some real insight into a whole lot of that stuff. And so I think that makes a big, big difference. It's a great point that you make. And so that's those types of things, Brent, are not things that you can fake. Those are the types of things that people have to experience them. And then they are going to talk in reality about what's going on. This place has got a great reputation right now in the league, as far as that aspect of it goes.
Talking about coaches and filling spots, you know, you look across the division and the Jags hiring Urban Meyer to come in and take over there, a guy that has zero NFL experience. So I want your, you know, you've been in the league a long time. You've been around college ball, but mainly in the league. I just want your take on a college guy who has done nothing but coach in the collegiate ranks to come in, and what the challenges will be, and, you know, is it possible to have success, all of that, going from the college game to the NFL game when you have zero experience in the NFL? Because you look at Pete Carroll, like, he started in the NFL, went to college, came back. You know, I don't know if you can count him. I don't know if even Harbaugh, you can count him, because he started in the NFL, kind of bounced back and forth, but zero NFL experience for Meyer. So from a coaching perspective, what's the difference there?
Well, you can count Jimmy Johnson. You can count Jimmy Johnson in that group.
But that was a long time ago, Coach Mac.
But still the NFL.
Not to age us, but, you know.
It's still the NFL. It's still the NFL, and it's still coming in as a very successful head football coach and an administrator. And look, the sum of a head coach in the National Football League is really the staff that he has around him. And that, to me, Urban Meyer has proven that he knows how to win in various environments. He's proven that. And so clearly he's got the administrative part of it down. He understands how to motivate a team. Now he needs to use all of that he has to assemble the best staff that he can for the National Football League, and then be willing to take advice as to how this league works. I mean, it's not like he's been sitting in a dark room since he hasn't been coaching and he doesn't understand, you know, what this league is about. Now, you never know it until you experience it, but I think it's a good hire. I really do, because here's the thing that I think it's a good hire. He sought that job out because he could see two things. They've got good young talent. When you start looking at their talent, you know, across the board, their results weren't good, but you start taking piece by piece, man by man, they've got good young talent. They're going to get the number one pick in the draft. It's going to be Trevor Lawrence. And in this truncated cap season, they got $73 million they can spend. Okay. And so you're coming into this thing with a lot of things on the table that make it not only attractive, but make it available if you do the right things. And the other thing, Don, that he's got a chance to do, I mean, that place was very dysfunctional, as you well know. And they've erased and eradicated that dysfunction. So to come in with a clean slate with all of those assets that I have just mentioned, and plus having been a successful coach at Power Five places, I think it's a great hire. And to me, I'm very interested to see who he surrounds himself with. Now that's important. And here's the other thing, Don, that's important. In the Power Five, you can surround yourself with 10 coaches. In the National Football League, however many the owner will pay, you can surround yourself with.
Hey, so that's a great point.
he has got a chance to put something together down there, and he's got a lot of assets available to him now. This is a different offseason for everybody because the salary cap's so different.
Well, and an radio owner that'll spend money, right?
And an owner, Don, that will be patient.
Yeah.
That owner has been patient. He may not have been real successful lately, but he's been patient, which patience in ownership of the National Football League is a great trait.
Titans radio analyst Dave McGinnis brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, always, I would think one of the bigger challenges for Urban Meyer coming from his position in college football would be that he's going from capitalism to socialism. And what I mean by that is he could sign the 25 best players in the country every single year, and it doesn't matter how good you are. In the NFL, the worst teams get the best picks, right? Like, it's completely flipped, and you have a lot less chance to overhaul that roster. Is that maybe one of the bigger challenges?
Well, as I said, again, think about the picks he has this year. He not only has their picks for being
bad. For the top 45.
Yeah, he has other people's picks that made bad trades that benefited them. I mean, and plus the fact that, as I say, he's got cap space. Cap space is everything. I know. I've tried to put a team together without cap space. I know how much – I know how important that is, and especially, as I said, not to be repetitive, but this offseason is different with the cap space because what's it going to be? $180 million is what everybody is guessing.
You can
start to look. I just got a list today of the carryover money that people have. Some people have a lot of carryover money, you know, more than others. So it's going to be very, very interesting, and that's why it's very important. His evaluation, not only of the collegiate talent this year for the draft, but his evaluation and the people that he surrounds himself with that evaluate the talent and the money that is going to have to be spent for some of the free agents that are out there. This is vital because this to me could be a pretty quick flip down there because they're not bare with players. They've got some good young players at several positions.
How difficult is it going to be for scouting departments to really dig in and get that done this year with no scouting combine this year, no visits? How different is that challenge going to be?
Well, it's completely different, but they've already started. They knew this was happening. I mean, their offseason has already, Brent, been geared towards that. All the people that I've talked to that are in that realm in the National Football League, they've already started towards it. They knew this was going to be. They knew there was going to be no combine this year. They knew that all of the medical stuff was going to be regionally. They knew that the workouts were going to be at places that they were going to try to get uniformity in the drills that were run. And so they've known all of this. They've known all of this. They have geared up for this. Everybody. The thing about it though is, Brent, it's just like when we went to last year. Let's go to last year when we were talking about having a draft virtually, and everybody was going, well, the one thing about it, everybody was under the same rules. And everybody's going to be under the same rules again. And so, but they really, they pretty much morphed into this situation already, because as I said, they knew that this was going to be like this off season.
What do you miss though, from not having it in person?
A lot, okay. Don. I mean, you miss a lot, because I mean, it's just, this will be the first combine I ever miss because they're not having it. You know, and you miss, you know, when I was working in the league, you miss being able to talk with the players. I mean, the first few years that I did it, I was coaching on the floor. I coached on the floor, the linebacker, for about 5 or 6 years, because I wanted to be down there with them, you know, and to see what was going on, because any information that you get is valuable information. And so, but the face-to-face contact is important. And it's not only just the workouts in person at their places that are important. It's the meetings that you have with them the night before. It's the meetings and the dinners you have with them after. You know, all of those things are very, very important as to get insight into who they are. And so you're going to miss that. But as I said, everybody, it's going to be those organizations that are on the cutting edge that were able to you know, exemplify the cutting edge of all everything else that has gone on with this last past season that we've had, that will be ahead of it. But you missed, because this is a people business, Don, as you well know. I mean, you're in it. It's a people business. That face to face, you miss it.
Did you Coach Mack with us here, Titans Radio, did you take a look at AJ Brown's Instagram live from after his surgery at all?
The only thing that's on Instagram with Coach Mack is bobblehead Coach Mack. So, you know, bobblehead Coach Mack hadn't called me to let me know what's going on Instagram. So okay. I have no idea. Tell me what's going on.
Let's do this. We'll hit you with some of those details. He went live post-op from the hospital bed and said some interesting things. We'll do that next.
Okay.
On 104.5 The Zone. Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. We'll discuss it. AJ Brown from the hospital bed next.
Get him.
Hey, Tell on 104.5 The Zone. Glad you're with us talking some NFL activity with Coach Mack.
Yes.
Presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Coach Mack, Dawn alluded to the AJ Brown video, which you said you're not on Instagram. You're not
on Twitter.
I know,
I forgot.
You're not on social media. I don't know what you do to spend time during the day while all of us are looking at our phone screens.
Talks ball.
I'm watching a lot of college tape right now.
Yeah, you got to get ready. Here is some of what AJ Brown had to say following, surgery yesterday as he checked in live on Instagram from his hospital bed.
I was sore all year. Nobody knew. They told me I was done for the year, like in week two. Told me I was done for the year in like week two, right? I played all year. I ain't no making a Pro Bowl. Didn't know how I was going to do it. I did it.
Remember when everybody told you, like, hey, you know, if you're going to get sedated for something, make sure you really trust the people that are in the room with you. Well, now we've got phones and we can get mm-hmm. on live and talk to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Kornheiser in the background. I noticed that.
He also said at one point, the nurse was like, who's taking you home today? And he said, my dad. She said, do you want to go ahead and have him come in here? He said, nah, he'll record me. I'm like, dude, you're live on Instagram right now. He doesn't have to record you. Everybody can see you.
He also said that Mike Vrabel would cuss him out for all of this. But
that's,
hey,
so good.
In all seriousness, like the serious angle to this story, because it is entertaining and we all love that guy. He was dealing with some serious stuff this year, injury-wise, and he battled through and had a great season.
Absolutely. Look, I get to watch practice every day. So, I didn't know exactly what it was, but, you know, all those maintenance days that he had at the end. Look, this guy is a true professional. He is a stud with a capital S. I'm just telling you, this guy is a grown man, and he has been from day one. And look, there is nobody, and you guys know this, and our listeners do too. And I say at the end of the season, there is nobody healthy in the National Football League. Nobody. If you've played 17 weeks in the National Football League, and especially you're not healthy now, various degrees of injuries, but for what he went through, and we could see it, you know, during the ball game. So the first play of the game at Houston, remember he caught that transcontinental, that TRC, and got tackled, went down on a knee, and, you know, limped off, but he came back. So that kind of guy. And again, as I said, I'm not right about many people when I do the draft, but I was spot on with him, because when I compared him to Anquan Boldin, Anquan Boldin, you know, played a week after getting his face crushed, you know, and wired together. So this guy, I mean, what he did this year and what he was going through. And the other thing that I think is important to know about this is we don't know what they're all going through. We do not know. You know the designations during the week, but what is actually going on with them and what these guys have to do to be able to play, especially through an NFL season. I think back to one of the first, the first year I was coaching in the National Football League, and this was all brand new to me. And I was walking up the hill to practice one day with Richard Dent. And he was walking. I mean, he couldn't even barely move. And I said, Colonel, because that's what we called him, Art. Are you going to be able to make it today? He looked at me and said, I'll be there every day. He said, just remember this. It takes a man to play 16 games in this league. And he's right.
One of TSU's all-time greats, Richard Dent. And I mean, that's after week two, he said. That's just – you're right, the NFL – and we have no grasp of it. Clearly, you do. But it just feels – like, it's safe to say that is one of the most grinding things that anybody does in sports is an NFL season.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, physically, I mean, we're not even talking about the preparation and the mental preparation and the stress that they go through, but the physical part of it. I mean, I know Don's been on sidelines during the game. Brent, if you've ever been on an NFL sideline during a game, the first time I was on an NFL sideline during a game, we played the Cleveland Browns to open the season, 1986. I mean, I could not, you know, and I'd been coaching in major college. I could not believe the speed and the force of the collisions. I mean, it was just like, what in the world is going on out here?
Yeah, you know? I mean,
and it's never changed. In fact, it's accelerated through the years.
Major college football is a violent game from the sideline, but it's not compared. Like, you can't even compare the two.
Not at all.
That's why it's tough for rookies, right? And we all talk about when we all ask those questions about adjustment from college to the NFL, from high school to college football. And you're right. It's a physical and mental strain. There is no question. Another thing that stands out to me this year about that team, Coach Mack, is the way that the offensive line room battled, because it took all of them. And they got a 2,000-yard rusher out of it.
Think about their mindset as to what they went through, because – and not only that, Brent, you know, we went through three offensive tackles on the left side.
Yep.
And then, you know, Roger Saffold, think what he went through to play every week. We don't know the extent of everything he was going through. I've spent a lot of seasons on a team with Roger Saffold. I know how physically and mentally tough he is and what he battled through. And the other thing, guys, I think is important about that offensive line and really that blocking unit, when they went into ball games, they knew that they were not going to finesse anybody out of anything, because they were built on a physical approach, and the defensive approach against them was extremely physical. And so they knew what they were facing every week. You know, it wasn't like there were some games where everybody was spread out and you were just, you know, you were spinning the ball all over the field. That's not what they were built on. And so that's what they faced every week, you know, for 60 or 70 snaps, however many they had. And so that's a real kudos to them too.
Well, Coach Mack with us. Coach Mack, you have been in this league a long time, so you have seen a lot of Philip Rivers, and I want to share this story. He's retiring, obviously. J.J. Watt put on Twitter, I'll never forget lining up for a play and Phil pointing to one of our linebackers and telling him he was lined up wrong. based off the blitz we are about to run and being 100% correct about it. One of the smartest I've ever played against and a hell of a competitor. What do you know and what will you remember of Philip Rivers?
First of all, when Philip Rivers was the quarterback of the opposing team, which I've coached against Philip Rivers a lot, you know, both in the NFC and the AFC, when I was coaching, he pisses you off, okay? Because because he is that smart, and he was probably one of the most incessant and proficient trash talkers ever.
No cuss words.
Not a cuss word at all. But what I mean, he could pour some gasoline on the fire quick. I mean, he was a diesel truck, you know, pouring gasoline on the fire of anything, getting it going. And look, the guy, a 17-year career, come on. I mean, and what a competitor. I mean, that goes all the way back to NC State, you know, and I had nothing but disdain for him when I was playing against him because he made it so hard, but nothing but respect, believe me.
Man, and it's amazing to think about, like, Drew Brees likely walking off into the sunset too. Ben Roethlisberger has a decision to make. That's three pretty big-time quarterbacks that we may lose in 1 year.
Well, yes. I mean, that's an end of an era, really, you know. Yeah. And of course, the National Football League cycles through those types of eras for, you know. But the quarterback is different, Brent, and you bring it because they can play so much longer. You know, if they take care of themselves and if they're anywhere near successful, they're able to be around, you know, and play so much longer. And you really start to appreciate not only their seniority, but their grasp and their command of the game. That's what's impressive. Like, you know, Philip Rivers had a command of the game. Drew Brees had a command of the game. Peyton Manning had a command of the game. You know, I can go back to Montana, Marino. Those guys had a command of the game. They performed the game at an entirely Elway at an entirely different level because they were not only gifted, but they were so immersed in it. I mean, it's and that's what made it so much fun to compete against those guys, even though sometimes it got to be pretty maddening.
Well, we're going to have a fun weekend. Speaking of quarterbacks, Rodgers against Brady, and then you've got Allen against Mahomes. That's pretty good.
Well, and here's the thing, too. You're talking about the two diametrically opposed on the age scale, right?
Right, I mean, exactly,
You're talking about two of the young guns, and then you're talking about two guys that are first ballot Hall of Famers. You know, it's what you're talking about. So that's what makes it, you know, so very, very interesting because, I mean, I can go into to a lot of stories about, you know, playing against, you know, both of those quarterbacks, you know, that are going to be in the NFC game because of just the command of the game they have and how they sometimes not only physically, but how they mentally will their teams, you know, to victories in a lot of situations because they just get it. And players have such faith in them. And then the two young guys, I mean, they're dynamic athletically. And you can see that they're both starting to grasp the game even more and more as they play. I mean, how about Allen? I mean, how much difference is he from the first year that he suited up to play? Yeah. And, of course, Patrick Mahomes has been – I think we knew Patrick Mahomes here in Tennessee was going to be special when he played that second half of that preseason game that time. He came in and just started spinning pissed missiles all over the field. And you were going like, whoa, here's a dude.
I still remember you saying that at practice.
Oh, that's
with Emily Brown from News 2 standing next to us. And she agreed with you. They were piss missiles.
Well, I mean, it's Brady. Pretty descriptive term.
Yeah, it is descriptive. So which Super Bowl matchup do you think we'll see?
I think it'll be Kansas City, Green Bay.
I'm in. It's hard to pick a bad matchup with these four. Looking forward to it. Thank you, Coach Mack. Yep, good to see you, man. Thank you.
Guys, you guys are the best. Thanks. See
you. All right, Coach Mack, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? Let Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They've got you covered. Bruce Feldman at 4:15. When we come back, Florida ran Tennessee last night. We talked a little bit about that yesterday.
You said they weren't playing very well right now.
They were leaking a little bit. They Titanic'd themselves. We'll talk about that. Are they still a Final Four team in your mind? Does one game change your thought of one basketball team? We'll be right back. Championship.